two over, and the continuation visit with Ms. Guthrie and Marvin this Monday night at supper time, the 14th February, 72.
Channel
two over, the continuation visit with Marvin and Ms. Guthrie this Monday at supper time, the 14th of February, 72. Channel two over. Channel 2 over and continuation of the visit with Ms. Guthrie and Marvin at supper time the 14th of February.
I risk his age.
Oh.
What is 73 years old?
76.
Is that right?
That's what he told us.
Well, maybe it is 76.
Well, that's going to hurt him, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, he must already have it because I told him not to drive without it.
No.
Because it's too risky.
Uh-oh. He couldn't afford it.
We seen him yesterday morning.
He
on his
like
way to church, here and Nanny.
He talked like he's going to get some from Adam or something that day.
Uh-huh.
And, I think Adam's is about, went along with the rest of them, you know, as far as that high risk.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm so glad because when he was over here, I guess right after Christmas or maybe during Christmas, he was so worried about those licenses. He knew he had to come up.
He stood the test that first time, but see what happened? His eyes kind of failed him.
Yeah.
As far as the test is concerned, getting all the signs and things right, he was right.
Yeah.
But his eyes wasn't, he couldn't read the print.
Yeah.
So they told him to go and have his eyes tested. And he did, and they had him get some glasses. Eye specialist fixed him some glasses, and he went back and he got
it. Suzanne told me that your car had it taken it down.
Yeah, born dead. But she had it, just like you said, without any trouble at all.
Well, why do you reckon it was there?
I don't know. She's talking about the heifer gun.
I wish I knew. I was busy that day. I ought to got you all over here and take a look at it. Didn't seem to be anything wrong with it. And all cleaned up.
Did you find it dead?
Yes.
Or?
And it looked like it had been dead when it came because it was, didn't look like it had moved. It was wet on one side.
Well, not necessarily been dead when it come. It could have strangled it.
Yes.
I know that that happened.
It was so big, just a huge calf, just a huge, beautiful heifer calf. But it was, well, you don't want them to come dead because the next one might do the same thing. But it was good saying because you don't want that heifer calf on this little cow, you know. It's just too much calf for her.
But she, just like you said, she didn't have any trouble herself.
No.
You know.
Oh, is that what she said?
Yeah.
Well, you just can't tell whether they're going to have it or not.
She got bigger and bigger. And it took her forever, you see. It just lingered and lingered. Now, that other one that died, that turned inside out, she was her sister. She was beautiful calf, heifer. And she was much younger than this. Well, she was springing one day, and I thought, well, sir, I'll start watching her and keep her up. Well, the next day, she already had the calf.
Well, that little old boo and yonder
was
coming.
Was it just a heifer first calf?
It just looks to me like it's going to bust wide.
She wasn't any
age at all.
This one is older.
And this little old bag, is it getting bigger, Marvin?
Not the same.
And I just don't know whether it's going to come this month. Or
it won't come this month. It should come. By my count, it shouldn't come in before April.
When we got two old cows there in the field that is so old, and they got calves, and how in the world can a cow that poor have a calf?
Yeah. Well,
it just
worries
the life out of me.
Oh, you can't do nothing with them. By ground feeding, it don't do them
any good.
Why
in the world didn't you sell them cows?
Well, Well, you said you didn't want to sell old Red and that other one. I don't know why I didn't sell.
Well,
I
old Red,
didn't.
She wouldn't bring
get,
you 25 cents on the mark.
And now she's too poor to sell.
And she got a cat.
She got a cat.
Well, she can mend backside of the field. And I can say Red, and she'll look at me. She knows her name just as good as I know my name. And I can say, come here, Red. And she turns right around and comes to me.
Well, no wonder you won't sell it.
I can't do it.
No, of course you.
I don't care if she dies, but I don't want to tear her off and have her beat up. She's too old. She's got a nice cat.
Is that right?
That's right. And she looks so bad. Well, the little old calf Marvin feeds it.
Yeah.
He eats and he eats
sure
hay
will.
And he feeds and he nurses her too. And he's a Charlie.
Well, let me tell you, I know that. If they get just a little milk, they can make it.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. But they got to have a little milk.
Yeah, they got to have just a little bit.
Yeah.
But you know, Red, I bet her milk is just as weak as the dew on the grass.
Yeah,
I don't
know.
Yeah. Huh?
She wouldn't have much nourishment.
She wouldn't have a whole lot. It's satisfaction. That's what it's
about. I bet you she don't give this year a little pitcher full of milk a week.
Why, Miss Mary?
She's too thin.
I don't know. I think my thin one gives a lot of milk.
Have you? That little calf does a lot of work and gets very little for it, you think?
Mm-hmm. Well, we better run.
They do work at it. I never heard you all talk about this John Woodard.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know there was anybody like that in the back there in your own.
Oh, he meddled with everybody. Everybody's
his
business.
Own color and all
white
color.
White people.
He didn't care.
Hmm.
He eavesdropped at night.
Now he.
Oh,
what?
You'd eavesdropped at night, see what she's talking about. Come to your house, after you go to bed, and stand and listen, see what she's saying.
Oh, really?
Stand in the shadows.
Ooh. That's scary.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And listen to what she said after you went to bed. Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of days later, he'd tell you about it. Or tell you enough to know that he'd heard it, heard what you're saying.
Is that right? Is that right? Where'd he live?
He lived down just below us.
Yeah. Now this bad time, though, Mr. Guthrie was on his way to court.
That's right, he was a juryman.
He was on a jury.
And he had to be there at a certain time. And he didn't have time to fool around with John. And John, he knowed that John didn't have to have the jug right then. But John had been over to Woodard's and they'd had a scrap about something. And he come right on over there and jumped on Mr. Guthrie. And he cussed him for things that I didn't think he ought to done. And I made Mr. Guthrie take out a warrant for him. I thought it'd kind of cool him down and make a man out of you. But Aunt Phyllis said that all she hated about it, John didn't ever know what he was arrested for because he was always messing with somebody.
Mm.
But they weren't nobody no better a person than Woodard Coleman's mom and daddy.
Yeah.
Aunt Phyllis was a good woman.
And it was just a little old syrup jug.
The little old brown syrup jug that cost it every bit.
Brown and white jugs. You've seen them white with a brown top, them old clay jugs, I call them.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've seen them anyway. And Mr. Gunther said he couldn't do it then. And
but he would when he got back home. And he told John, he said, John, I'll go get the jug, and you can take it now. And John said, I didn't bring the jug over here, and I'm not going to carry it back, but you better bring my jug home. And he just cussed Mr. Guthrie for everything he could think of.
Oh.
And Mr. Guthrie hadn't done a thing in the world to him. Mr. Guthrie went and got the brown jug, set it up on the fence post so he could get it. And John said, you wait till I go home and get my gun and come back, and you carry my jug home. But we didn't have time to fool around with him because Mr. Guthrie had to be at court such and such a time. And
well, I didn't understand that. He got the jug and set it on the post.
Mr. Guthrie did, but he wouldn't carry it.
Oh, I missed that too.
He wouldn't carry it. He told Mr. Guthrie he didn't carry it over there and he won't carry it back.
Well, it wasn't a laughing matter, though, was it?
So you got a warrant for him?
I did.
Yeah.
I took out a warrant because he cussed Mr. Guthrie for things that he had no business to do. Jack Meekins was there working. And he said, Mr. Guthrie, I wouldn't take that off of nobody.
Yeah. It was really rich, was it?
It was. And Willie Guthrie said, you sit out there and be there on your horse when I come back. And he said, I'll get you gone. And Willie Guthrie tried to get in the house to get his gun. And I locked the screen door and I said, no, you ain't. You ain't getting in here and you ain't getting no gun. I said, they'll live. And I'll tell you what, if I'd have let Mr. Guthrie got his gun, John wouldn't have done a thing but went home and got his gun just across the road and come back and he killed Willie Guthrie.
Oh, yeah.
He'd kill me. Because he went over to Martha Mickens and shot in her house and her living over there at Mr. Paul's. Had to shoot and scrape over there and Marvin, did he serve time for that?
No.
It's been so long. Well, that was before I come.
I don't believe he did.
But he would have just as sure killed Willie Guthrie that day. Just as sure as I'd let Willie Guthrie went in the house to get the gun.
Was that in your time?
Oh.
Where was you?
He
wasn't there then.
And Marvin come that weekend to our house.
Yeah.
And I said, Marvin, and he was working on the canal. And I said, Marvin, why don't you come and live with us?
Oh.
And he's been with us ever since.
Yeah, well, John was killed like the, what, middle of the week, first, something like that. Maybe on Wednesday, and I come
Saturday.
Yeah, on Saturday.
And I don't know what he come there for, but he come there, and I said, Marvin, why don't you quit the canal and come stay with us? And so he did.
I've always
been there ever since.
And that was in the city?
Well, it was when that cross state canal was going through down there the first time, yeah. Down south, you know, camping down there.
That was how much? 30, how much?
Must have been long, about
33.
You
practically had the whole depression right over there, didn't you? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's the authority when it's 30.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, because 28, 29 wasn't so bad. It was bad enough. Then 30 from 30 and Roosevelt went in office and I don't remember that when. 36, but yes it was.
Yeah.
You mean it was 32 before he went in office?
my rose belt went off. I believe in 36.
Well, you wasn't the second time then.
I believe his first term was 32, wasn't it?
32, maybe it was.
And then he's
got me. Hoover was just one term, you know.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Golly, yeah. Bummer, that was too much.
And the first thing he did was that holiday, don't you remember?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And that was way back. That was at about that time. Mm-hmm. You were just coming, 32. You were just peeping through.
You know one thing, you know, a lot of people don't like to hear that. But I think that Roosevelt was one of the most wonderfulest men that I ever seen.
He did a lot of wonderful things.
Didn't he, though? He brought this country
well,
out of
the... Well, he nationalized the banks and this, that, and the other. He made your money secure what little bit you had.
And it sure needed being secure.
Did
you all lose money?
We did. Mr. Guthrie had money... some money down there at McIntosh and he lost it. And he had some in Hawthorne and he lost it.
Yeah.
And he had a little bit in Pfeiffer Bank and he lost it.
Yeah.
And never got a penny of it back.
You know, Mr. Weaver said he lost right smart at that time and he had never had any since.
But I'm going to tell you right now, Roosevelt done more for this country than any president that ever has done since I've been here.
Yeah.
And I remember it just as well as if it was yesterday. Mr. Guthrie was butchering beef for Killings and Smith at McIntosh. And he carried a load of beef down there that morning and there was Roosevelt's picture on the wall. He said, Mr. Guthrie, he said, there's the man you want to vote for.
Yeah.
He said, and you sure want to vote for him.
Dressing it and hauling it to the market for 8 and 10 cents a pound.
No.
And selling it on credit at that.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, that credit would just kill you. That credit would just kill you. Why, when I first come out here and sold those cares, people come out here with those cares, they'd want to buy the cares on credit. Well, I already kept them for a year, you know, without any money. What am I going to do? I'm telling you, that credit gets you.
What'd you say? I
said
I was going to get your glass.
Oh.
You want some water, Marvin?
I believe so, but I can use her glass. She can rinse it out and just
go.
A little strong liquor. I know. Can't hear
the
place,
Marvin.
Yeah,
for
that's good enough.
Old John Woodard. Oh, darn. Well, that's been a long time since he raised the roof of San
Andreas. Yeah, sure has.
A long time.
We can give y'all something other than water.
A long time. Why, when I was growing up, we had niggas like that. Except they didn't bother white people.
Well, I don't think I ever heard of him.
But he did.
Yeah.
He sure did.
Yeah, he didn't last long either, did he?
He didn't. He was always, he wanted, even after the colored people, but he was with the white people also.
Yeah.
He didn't pick them.
And Mr. Guthrie never bothered anybody.
Mr. Guthrie hadn't done no more to him. Never done nothing to John Woodard. And he sat out there on his horse and cussed him like he did. And I told him, I said, John, I said, I'm going to have you arrested. Just as soon as I get to town, I'm going to have you arrested. And when I want to look out for you.
And he ought to know what would happen.
And good night of living. They wouldn't have done nothing but carried him up there. And maybe he might have paid a $25 fine, and he'd have got out.
That would have been big money them days,
yeah.
But Phyllis said he didn't know what it was about because he was into so much devilment.
Well, I'm glad you we better come.
Yeah.
Oh.
There's another day coming up.
Yeah.
Well,
Well, you're all so proud now, Marvin, yeah, with a new roof and new rolling around on the new tire.
Yeah, but you don't know how proud we are. We're going to have to dig, 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 dig.
Yeah. So we said we're going to have to put it by.
Yeah, well, you got your floors all cleaned up. And
No, I ain't got a thing to my floors.
Just the way it dripped in, leaked in?
Oh yeah. That's all right.
But you're really not worried now that you got the roof on.
Well, we ain't had no rain.
Now, if it'll leak.
Yeah.
Now we're going to have a long dry spell.
Well, now tell me the schedule of that. They started it though way back, didn't they?
What's that?
The roof.
No, they just started about a week ago.
Didn't take them long.
Last Saturday was a week, I guess, ago.
They started it?
Yes, but the rain kept them, you know.
I don't think in the world
them men pulled off their shirts. As cold as it's been and got down that roof and worked.
Oh, don't tell me.
Pulled off their shirts.
They sure did. Throw the shirt out in the yard and get up there and hit just the wind is. I told them, I said, you're going to die when you moan. But they was from the north.
Come on, from Maine, one from Ohio, and three or four from Maine.
You had a whole bunch.
A whole bunch of them out there.
Yeah.
Well, when y'all coming over to the pole farm?
I'll tell you, pull my eye. We're going to come see the sights. If I never got him up off, if he can't get up and down.
Well, you don't sit back down. I thought we'd gone.
Saturday when I come in, I was so blue and so despondent. And one man was sitting up there over my washing machine and there weren't nary dab of
Friday.
Cover over, that was Friday. And we come in and the floor was in such a mess and I told there was roach manure all over everything and oak leaves and smut. And I said, I'm a good woman, leave and never look back. And I went on over to Miss Bass's and carried my coat for her to cut it off and hem it. I come on back and Marvin had it cleaned up.
That man swept that pole, got him sweep that pole.
That other man's wife come and got the man and left this man setting up there on the roof. So before we went to Hawthorne, I told Marvin, I said, ask him, would he like to come in and drink a cup of coffee with us? Oh, yeah, he sure would appreciate a cup. And he looked at me and I'd cried, so my eyes were swell. And he said, you know, I wouldn't care if the world would come to an end of the day.
They went off and left him. And a little pole by each piece of sheet, about 3/4 inch
sheet of
plywood.
I said, you wouldn't care? No.
All them bones.
He said, no, I'm ready to go anytime.
His pole of them come
he
out.
He crawled back
out
there on the roof and we took off.
And left him up there.
I don't know when they come, God, he knew nothing about it, but when we come back, he was gone.
I don't know how he left him. He was mad. You know, they all went off and left him, said nothing.
Now that was on Friday.
Friday.
Yeah, Friday.
Wish the world would come setting at the table drinking.
Well, watch if it come right now.
Well, you had enough of it.
You had had too. With all them drippings out there. Well, where did they all come from?
What's that?
On your porch?
That's when it took the roof off, you know.
Yeah, the house, they didn't sweep the roof, and it was full of leaves.
So they just put it in your house.
And yeah. It just fell down, you know, in the porch and in the kitchen.
Comes through the ceiling?
Yeah.
The porch is not sealed on the outside porch.
It's not
a washing
sealed.
Machine, it doesn't have a ceiling.
Oh, I see.
But the door was open, and then when it fall on the floor, it blew in the kitchen.
But he come back Sunday, didn't he?
Mm, yeah.
I never will forget that man, the way he looked.
Huh?
I would have given pretty of somebody a blow the horn. I bet he'd have tore up something.
Tooted the trumpet. I remember that.
I thought I was despondent, boy.
You couldn't cry anymore.
No, I couldn't cry. I don't know how. He just looked at me and my eyes were full and I cried, you know, I'd worried, you know. I reckon he thought he was telling me something that might scare me up.
He wasn't like the little boy that didn't want to go to heaven, was he? He was ready. You heard that little boy. He was having a revival at a church. Preaching, doing a lot of preaching. That's a little college boy. He come along and he's about so, and he decided, well, I'm going in there and get me some of that religion. So he went in there and they give all the call, and about half of the people went up and shook hands with the preacher. He had them all lined up there against the altar. So he looked back down, he seen that little old college boy, and says, he thought he saw, he's about half scared to death, and walked back there to him and says, son, he says, what's the matter? Don't you want to go to heaven? He said, no, sir. No, sir. He says, you mean you don't want to go to heaven when you die? Oh, yeah, when I die, I do. But he says, I thought you'd get a load now.
He thought you'd get a load
now. That's kind of the way that man was. He was ready.
What did you say to the man whenever?
I didn't know what to say. I just stood up there and looked.
Oh, Lord.
I reckon he thought that I was going to die.
It wouldn't make no difference. No.
And he was sitting on the porch, and now there's an all.
He was sitting up on top of the porch. Never that all left him. And he didn't know what to do.
Well, then. No, Jim, what he might have done if you hadn't got him down.
But that tickled me. You know, I cried all day long. And more eyes will swell so when he looked. He said he wouldn't care. World would come to an end right now. And that's the thing of my
But it didn't tickle him.
I said, you mean you want to go? Yeah, I'm ready to go right now.
Well, I don't know, a lot of times when you get mad, like you just soon the others would go.
The trouble was, why nobody left that but him to go.
Maybe he thought he had to go anyway. And he might as well want to go.
Oh, well, I know y'all tired.
Oh,
listen, that was... Wipe everything.
Well, I'll tell you what, it don't matter which side your bad rib is on, you can't pick up with your left hand or your right.
Oh, that's for sure.
It's a darnest thing, ain't it?
I tell you, you all have done me more good. And God, this is the first big laugh I've had since I'm going to call you again. I mean, he's been hard to live with.
Yeah. Bring him over to the house. I'd sure like to give him to you. Would you take him? Bring him over there. We'll put him up on the house.
Oh, yeah,
we've called over to your house half a dozen times.
We sure have. We really have.
Well,
on the telephone. They called about three times.
Now, when was that?
I don't know. Last week.
Well,
yeah.
I was home.
Well,
it was
last week. You know how it is.
You know, you could have been down.
I got to worrying about Shirley. She took that all that pneumonia or whatever she had.
This is Channel 2 Over, around 500, halfway through this Channel 2 Over, and the end of the visit with Miss Mary and Marvin this Monday at supper time, the Valentine's Day, the 14th of February, 72. The end of this extraordinary visit with Marvin and Miss Guthrie this Monday at supper time, the 14th of February, 72. Channel 2 Over, round 500, and the end of this visit was Miss Mary and Marvin this Monday at supper time, the 14th of February, 72, Valentine's Day.